You're listening to The Threshing Floor with Pastor Jeb Dotson. Join us today as we tackle hard topics, current and future events, as well as tough questions about the Bible from our live listening audience. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. Our hope and prayer is that through this program, you continue to ask questions and seek God's truth so you may be equipped to stand firm in your faith and grow closer in your relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, hello to all of our listeners out there. Thank you for tuning in to 104.3 on the Threshing Floor. I'm Pastor Jeb Dotson. I'm here in the studio with Pastor Tim Lowry, Pastor David Ballou. I don't know if you hear it in the background, but there's just a steady flow of rain. There's thunder. And we are just in the middle of just on the back end of a severe thunderstorm watch, tornado watch, tornado warnings. When Pastor Tim came in, I just, you know, he's a little late. No, not late, right on time, more like. But he was talking about how he was looking at the radar, and what did you see?
Well, it was crazy because when we first did the tornado warning, it was in Madisonville. It was about 8 miles heading east towards Crockett. And it was just supposed to hit, you know, rural area, not anything, any towns or anything. And then about 10 minutes later, I look at the radar, and the whole cone now has pointed right at our radio station.
Right.
And so it's literally like coming straight at us. And so I look back, and I was, because I was busy doing other things. I was like, well, you know, we did our warnings, and we're telling people, you know, take shelter. And I didn't look twice. And then all of a sudden, I look again, and now it's heading right for us. And so I grabbed the family. I said, okay, we're going into our little bunker room, and which is only the radio room. We don't have.
Right.
But, you know, we don't have anything, you know, like actual bunker, so or a basement or anything like that. But when we were in there, we were there for about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched it, and suddenly looking at the radar, right where our tower is, the big red dot that was coming at us suddenly split off into two and parted and went around us. And I just said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing that. And we got the warnings out to the Love Lady people. And we've also got, we did see a tornado happen in Trinity. So that was, I hear that was an actual touchdown. So for those people, hopefully you guys were staying safe. But it has been crazy. Just even getting here to the studio.
Yes, yes.
It was like a monsoon. I was driving and I couldn't even see, and I was like, well, I just better go slow and get there. And but yeah, it's crazy. It's lightning and hail, and
God is our protector. He is our keeper. And you know, it's times like this when the lightning is flashing, the thunder's roaring, and the rain's coming down, that, you know, we're just so thankful that we have a God on the throne who is looking after us.
Yeah, so we actually have the engineers, yes, at the studio getting power spikes. So hopefully we'll stay on the air, but we're getting some power spikes.
But it's our hope and prayer as you're listening to this that you are staying safe. Maybe you're still hunkered down. I got a call from, or a text from my wife at the school. She asked if we were still going to go on the radio because the students were, they were down under desks. And I couldn't imagine what that's like, trying to wrangle kids for any length of time, to have them just in a waiting period where you can't go anywhere. We're just going to, you know, my hat's off to the teachers out there. I just want to say that your job is so special, and that it takes special people to do that and to just go through that every day. And the kids already, it's so close to summertime. They're already, I'd hate to say it, almost checked out, you know, and they're ready for summer. So when you tell them, no, we can't do work right now, right, you're just supposed to get under your desk. That's like, that's like, a okay, break time. It's, yeah.
We'll just check. Can we bring our phone?
Well, I remember when we were kids, we used to, you know, during the Cold War times.
Sure.
We used to have drills all the time, yeah. you know, like yeah. that. They don't, I don't know if they have them around here. I know in Oklahoma, they have tornado drills all the time. They know where to go.
Right.
You know, they have a process for it.
Yeah. I remember in growing up in school, they had the fallout shelters you would go into, and whether it's tornado or you'd have all those drills, get under the desk.
Yep. Ours was just always in the hall, facing the wall with a book over your head. You know, that book was, you know, supposed to do something, I guess. But, you know, we're just thankful that you are safe if you're listening to this. And if you're not, you know, we would love to just pray with you and whatever is going on. And we pray for your safety and your peace and whatever you're going through right now. Just know that we're there with you. I was talking to the guys when I came in that, I mean, lately, and this isn't anything new, but as I was watching the news, and I generally do watch the news every night, my wife and I, but there has been an influx of mass shootings. And I'm trying to figure out, like, what is going on? You hear about all these stories. So just this weekend, there were 10 mass shootings across the United States. And a mass shooting is more than three people. So that's when somebody gets a gun and for whatever reason, and they always try to figure out what's the motive, what's the reason, is this a hate crime, what is this?
Right.
And it's just too much, and it has to stop. And here's the numbers. In 2021, this year, 194 mass shootings in 18 weeks. 194. And so I'm thinking this has to be something more than on a physical level. On a spiritual level, it's like something's going on in the heavenlies to make people, children even, get a gun and bring it to school, 12 years old,
right.
and just start shooting their classmates and their teacher. And we can just go on and on. But I don't know how you feel about this as you're listening. I don't think it's a gun problem. I think really the enemy wants us to think it's the guns. It is other issues going on. But I think we need to dig so far deeper than that. Those of us who believe know that Satan, his time is coming to an end.
Right.
And so he is going around like a roaring lion, like thrashing in his cage and just trying to do anything and everything he can. And so I see this as a spiritual problem that needs some spiritual authority taken by the believers in this world.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the book of Genesis, right before the big flood and God's judgment upon the earth, it says this in Genesis chapter 6. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So there's, you know, people say, well, man is good. Men can do good, but really, man is sinful. If you let, you know, if you read the book, The Lord of the Flies, here's a bunch of kids, and yeah. before you know it, they're hacking each other up. I mean, it's just a nasty,
right.
a nasty situation. That's the tendency of humanity without Christ. And so when you got kids playing video games and everything they're doing is shooting something, killing something, and then they come back to life, you know, they just morph back into life and they, no consequences.
It's called respawn.
Yeah, respawn.
For those of the shooter game right. out there, those who play, you respawn and you get to kill somebody again.
Right. And the thing about it is, do you think we just get conditioned?
Yeah.
You know, or desensitized to, you know, what happens when someone dies? You know, you watch a television show and half the shows you watch, someone's getting shot, someone's getting killed, and nobody even is concerned about the family of the person that just died.
Right.
You know, those kind of things. And so we get desensitized to it, and it's crazy what goes on. And it's not guns.
Yeah.
Just like it's not the spoon that makes me fat.
I don't think there's any amount of legislation that's going to help. You could outlaw guns. It's no amount of legislation is going to help because you can't legislate Satan. Satan laughs at your legislation. That's really not the end-all answer. The end-all answer is our need for Christ in our generation.
Mm-hmm.
And to just really get back to our salvation and spreading the love of Jesus in this world.
Yeah.
And that's the issue that I see it. So what I would like to all of our listeners to do is please pray that the enemy, his hands and his feet would be tied and the violence would stop against our children, against the schools, against our families, all through this nation. It's this entire year has just been one of just violence upon violence where people feel justified in their actions by taking a life.
Well, I just heard in the news that because the New York Police Department got $1 million cut from their budget, something like that, you know, that crime rate has gone crazy in New York City. People are just, you know, cast off restraint.
What do you expect? Yeah. What do you expect is going to happen when you cut the budget that, you know, listen, this is not a political show and we're not being political, but there are some things that just don't make sense. But that is the blinders of the enemy who's saying this is the solution. It's the police department or it is the guns. And it's evil trying to point at all these other things saying it's this, it's that, but it's really not.
Right.
It's Satan who goes around like a roaring lion. And he is the orchestrator of so many things that's going on.
Yeah, I think that the interesting thing is that he actually thinks that this is his time to reign. You know, and he's being so blatant about it. And that I think as Christians, we need to stand up and say, you know what, you can't do that. You know, you think that you have, but God has the power. God is going to do this. So instead of us just sitting back and going, well, the rapture must be close then, you know, it's no, we need to
hang
be
on.
Up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just going to ride this one out like the storm. No, you know, you got to get in there and you have to be active in the battle. And one of our best tools and best battle gear is prayer.
Yes.
And, you know, when you sense it,
pray.
You sense those situations, pray, because, you know, a lot of times God will preempt things if you're really listening. You know, hey, go over and talk to that guy. You know, you don't know why, but God's asking you to talk to him. He could have been having a really bad day. You don't know if he was going to go and be a shooter. You just don't know. But I know that there are people that walk into our church every Sunday that are broken, that are distraught, and are seeking help. And if we're not there to pray with them and we're not there to show them the way that the truth and the life, which is Jesus Christ, then what hope is there?
There is none. There is none.
Well, I've been working on a message, a sermon, and it's called Living Out Loud. You know, and it's basically, you know, we need to be vocal because the world wants to silence us, wants to, you know, marginalize our voice. And we can't let that happen. So we have to live out loud. I'm not saying you scream, you know, from a soapbox in the city square. That may be what some people do. But it's basically be vocal about, you know, who you are, who Christ is, you know, what righteousness in, from a biblical perspective looks like. You know, live it out loud. You know, let people see your witness, hear your witness, and
Walk the walk of faith. So that gives us a great segue into what we're talking about, and that is the fact that Jesus came here on a mission. And in the Gospel of John, he gave us 7 I am statements, and we are going through these, and we are on the 4th statement, which where he said in John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. If you were listening last week, we talked about is in the same chapter where he says that I am the gate to the sheep. And so this is really a continuation in the same chapter. And let me read it for you. This is John chapter 10, starting in verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Then Jesus says this again, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. What a powerful picture of what we're living through today. where you have Jesus saying that he is the good shepherd, meaning he's taking care of his sheep, even willing to lay down his life, he says in verse 11. This is what those who are willing to walk that walk of faith, and I am here for my sheep. And then he says that I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just a powerful statement of Jesus, and even in the days he was in, even until now, he is there with his sheep, protecting his sheep, protecting his children. And Satan is there. He's the hired hand that is there to steal the sheep. Or when the wolf comes, he's going to abandon the sheep. That's not our Lord and Savior. Jesus says, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. He followed through with the plan. He died on the cross, rose again on the third day. We can have life, and he didn't leave us when he went to heaven. He's with us through the Holy Spirit. And he's with us now. So we are in a moment in time where we need to be listening to the shepherd. So we're going to talk more about what that means, is how we are like sheep and Jesus is like the shepherd. Please stay tuned right after this message.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
Looking for a breathtaking location for your wedding or event? Look no further than The Barn at Hickory Creek. Nestled in the heart of Crockett, Texas, this stunning barn venue offers a unique rustic elegance that you won't find anywhere else. We proudly host weddings, family reunions, corporate events, and any type of special occasion. Call us today at 936-222-4562. The Barn at Hickory Creek, creating endearing experiences you will cherish for decades to come.
104.3 Joy FM. Feel the joy.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Welcome back to The Threshing Floor. We're talking about Jesus as he made this statement. He said, I am the good shepherd. And he says that I know my sheep know me. That's just another way of saying that I know who belongs to me. I know my people. I know everyone who has accepted me as their Savior. And if they did that, they will recognize me. They will know me. I want to tell you just a short story. A shepherd was looking after his sheep one day on the side of a deserted road. Suddenly, a brand new Porsche comes by, screeches to a halt. This driver, this man dressed in this nice Armani suit, nice shoes, Ray-Ban sunglasses, Rolex watch, great tie, and everything about him speaks this guy has money. He gets out and asks the shepherd, he says, if I can tell you how many sheep you have, will you give me one of them? The shepherd looks at the young man and looks at the large flock of grazing sheep. He replies, okay. So the man parks the car, connects his laptop to his mobile, logs onto the internet, scans around using his GPS, opens a database with 60 Excel tables filled with algorithms and tables, and then he prints out a 150-page report on his high-tech mini printer. And he turns to the shepherd and says, you have exactly 1,586 sheep here. Rather surprised, the shepherd says, well, that's correct. You can have your sheep. Young man takes the animal, puts it in the back of his Porsche. Just as the man was about to drive off, the shepherd asks him, I guess your profession then, if I guess it, will you return my animal to me? Young man says, well, sure, why not? And he says, you're an IT consultant. He said, how do you know? Very simple. Firstly, you came here without being called. Secondly, you charge me a fee and tell me something I already knew. And thirdly, you don't understand anything about my business. Now, can I have my dog back? See, we may think that looking after a sheep is a simple task, but it's really not. It is a highly sophisticated job. It takes a good shepherd years to learn his trade, and is passed from father to son, you know, in order to really do this right. So we see, as Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd, and that's just a funny story that I read, that somebody who thinks knows the shepherding business, he really don't even know what a sheep looks like. And just to be truthfully, there are some people who really can't distinguish between a goat and a sheep, and all the many different types of you know, in that whole area of that species there. You know, Jesus knows us in and out. You got to think about this when he says that we are created when we're in our mother's womb. That means that he knows us in an intimate way, more than we know ourselves. And when we connect with the Father, we start following Christ in the way that we know is going to benefit us. And so we see beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are some qualities that people are similar to sheep, because Jesus knows us. One is sheep follow the crowd. They don't think of the consequences, you know.
They'll go off a cliff.
That's right. that's the truth of the matter. They don't. And people are like that, where they don't see the dangers. It's like people see other people doing things, so that's how things are done, so they're going to do it too. And then before you know it, you have tens and hundreds and thousands. And a lot of animals are that way. Think of the pigs that were filled with the demons, and they all ran off the cliff into the ocean. They just one falling after the other, and they all drowned.
Yeah. Well, they used to, the Indians used to do that with buffalo. They would get the stampede, and they would run them to the edge of the cliff, and they wouldn't see it, and they wouldn't turn around, and they would just run right off. And then they would have a pile of buffalo at the bottom of the ravine, and then they would go and... It was an easy way. Instead of just trying to shoot them with an arrow, they figured out we can just drive them over a cliff, and then we've got meat and clothing for the next 2 years.
Right there in the bottom of the ring. That is so true with how people are, because sheep do this just like people, because there's a stubborn quality about them. We as people, we really saw this this past year, and you see it now, where don't take away my rights. I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want to get a shot. And in private businesses where, you know, people actually have a say on whether or not you wear a mask, you know, people just arguing. And I know this well just because my son works at the grocery store, and he comes home every night, how people just cuss him out.
Wow.
And are just... Because, and he just quit doing what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to just not say anything, just offer them a mask. Just if they don't have one, he was just supposed to hand it out to them. They would get belligerent and angry about just some young kid who's doing what he's supposed to do. You know, that's how people, they become very stubborn and set in their ways. And sheep are like that too. You know, they wander off easily. And they don't learn from their mistakes. And there's one picture that I think we all know. Have you guys ever seen the picture of the statue of David with the sheep over his shoulder?
Yes.
Somebody told me a story when I went to Israel about what that really represented. That a shepherd in Israel, when he had a sheep go astray, and it was a constant thing that this same sheep kept going astray, what he would do, he would break its leg.
Yep.
He would actually go and grab the sheep's leg and break it, and then put it over his shoulders. And he would do that, and this sheep would spend weeks on the shepherd's shoulders. And you ask, well, why? That's the cruelest thing I ever heard.
Not the good shepherd.
why would you do that? But there's something about it. The sheep would smell the shepherd.
Right.
Would get so used to his voice, so used to his smell, that by the time, you know, they'd obviously bandage his leg and wrap it, and it would heal. But what they said is, when you put that sheep down, that sheep would never leave that shepherd.
Mm.
Would never leave that shepherd, no matter what. And so it was a way of, I guess you call it hard love. Mm. You know, it's...
Or definitely being broken, and then being healed, and knowing that that's your master, you know, that you're not going to leave that.
Yeah, and just the fact that the sheep was so close to this shepherd for so long, I don't know about you guys. I don't think I'd want a sheep just hanging out on me because they have to go to the bathroom, right?
And they're heavy.
And yeah, they're heavy. And so you're carrying this, but I guess it was just part of the deal, part of the job.
And in Israel, it was hot.
Yes.
You know, you're out there.
And you're wearing a wool scarf. Yeah. Right.
And if you've been to the fields, it's not like the pastures we have here in Texas where it's just open. It's hilly, it's rocky, it's all, I mean, you got to hike and you got to climb and it's crazy. And they were out there doing it. And I was just reading something that popped out. We were talking about shepherds as that Jacob and his fathers, they were all shepherds, you know, and when they went down to Egypt for the famine and Joseph, you know, brought his whole family, he said to the, tell the Pharaoh exactly what you do, because if you don't, the Egyptians despised the shepherds. They just hated shepherds. But because Joseph was in a position of number two in command, he said, just be honest with them. And so they were, and they said, we've done this since we were children. We were, like you said, our fathers raised us and showed us how to do it. Their father showed us how to do it. And so because of that, he put them in the choicest land and they got to be shepherds, which everybody else, the whole Egyptians, they hated that. But they're like, well, Joseph was in a position that God got to do that, and God got to save his whole family.
Here's a thought, you know, to Abraham and those that raised sheep, that was their value. That was worth a lot of money.
Yes.
So when we talk about sheep, sometimes we talk about, oh, they're dumb animals, you know, you can, you know, lead them to slaughter and those kinds of things. But a flock was really someone's worth. And if you think about it, you know, Jesus being the good shepherd, and it talks about this in Peter, Peter says to the elders, it says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. So we're considered a flock,
right?
You know, the church is considered a flock. And that makes me think that the church has value. And basically what Peter is saying, okay, pastors, you need to shepherd this flock as an overseer, not by compulsion, not for dishonest gain. You know, you don't fleece the flock, right, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And Jesus even said that. He wasn't a hireling. You know, he wasn't going to run away when troubles came. He was going to take care of that flock because that flock was valuable.
Yeah, the Bible says that there's a difference between a hireling and a son. The son takes ownership over his father's possessions. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus was saying here. And I think you're right about the value. I think every cattle rancher in Texas, they know that it's not just some dumb cow. That is worth money. You get just a few cows together, you can buy a whole truck with it, you know, and it doesn't take much to add up. So when you're talking about losing 10 sheep, that's a huge deal. So when a bear comes through, like that David would have to face, the bear or the lion, it was a serious deal. And so he treated it, his job, very seriously. And so he didn't operate as a hired hand. And he may have hired hands that would run. They saw that sheep and run, but here was David. He's going to square up. He said, I'm the only one. I'm the first and last line of defense. Mm-hmm. I've got to protect the sheep. And so he'd get his sling and take that thing out. And that was the whole deal. But the sheep would trust someone without even thinking. And it could go both ways. If you go back and look at the many cult leaders through time and how they were able to manipulate in the name of Christ, there's one that it fascinates me how this happened in 1978 at the Jonestown tragedy. 900 followers of Jim Jones, they committed suicide. They drank the Kool-Aid on purpose, knowing that there was poison, the strychnine in there, and they took their own life. You know, he didn't start out as this radical leader. He was actually preaching Jesus. He was loving on people. And when he moved to California, it was a great following. But there were some small things, if you look in the life, where he was became more of a policeman, and he would actually stand teenagers up and have people beat them in front of the whole congregation. And that's how it started. When that became accepted, he knew that he had enough control for the next step and the next step. And it got worse and worse. It got to the point where people who were doing wrong, that they felt like were doing wrong in town, they bring them in for a meeting, and they would, there would be people standing there waiting that would just beat the mess out of them. And so here's, I say all that to say this, and you're listening, be careful of the one you're following.
Right.
There will always be telltale signs that this is not one who's looking after the sheep. This is one who's there for just to distort, to destroy, to extort what God's plan is. And the world is full of, unfortunately, those who are taking the message of Christ and using it as weapon against his own followers.
Yeah, and it goes all the way back to the Pharisees that used the love of God against them when they said, don't follow Christ or else you won't be allowed in the synagogue. You know, it's like their love for God, they twisted that. They said, you know, we want to control the power. We want to do that. And it happens in the religions. It happens in the world. There's just this, I don't know, this spirit to just control and not have to have a God. You know, if God isn't there, then we aren't accountable for anything. You know, if God isn't real, if God doesn't exist, then I'm not accountable. I can do what I want to do. And I see so many young kids getting sucked into these, prosperity gospel churches and and different things where they're like, well, we just, you know, we meditate and we name it and we claim it and all of this stuff. And I'm just curious that when you ask them about, you know, who they're talking about with the leaders and stuff, it always doesn't point to Christ. They talk about Christ. They talk about Christ all the time, but it's not pointing people to him. It's always pointing people to their ministry or something else. And even to get into radical place where it says, hey, here it leads to poisoned Kool-Aid. You know, that's not a good thing.
Exactly. And so we as believers, we need to be very aware of what we're part of, who we're following, because if they're not following Christ, we're following whatever they're following. And that's the truth. We're going to talk about this more right after this message.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
Have you decided to give your child a conservative Christian education, but don't have the time for homeschooling? Summit Christian Academy is your perfect solution. Summit Christian Academy is an accredited K-12 Christian school with a heart for God and your children. They feature small class sizes to ensure your child gets the one-on-one teaching they need and deserve. Located in Huntsville, Summit Christian Academy teaches a biblical worldview and has very affordable rates. Open registration for the 2021-2022 school year is going on now. So call 936-295-9601 or visit scahuntsville.org to apply today. Summit Christian Academy, pursuing academic excellence and godly character.
Feel the joy.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Welcome back to The Threshing Floor. Just talking about how Jesus was telling the people of who he was by describing himself as a shepherd. And we've been talking about how people are like sheep. And now let's switch it over in the other direction. How would you say that Jesus is like a shepherd, knowing that I'll start out, here's one that a shepherd will protect the sheep, and that's what a shepherd does. You make sure that they are not in any danger.
Yeah, it says this in John 10:28, just a few verses past what we already read. It says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That means Jesus has a hold of us. He wants to protect us the whole way. It starts off by saying he is a good shepherd. Let me just add that. You know, there are some, he's a great shepherd, but he calls himself good. And the word is kalos in the Greek, and it's translated noble, wholesome, good, and beautiful. And in Matthew 19, it says this, "And behold, a man came unto him," to Jesus, "saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good." Guess what? And it's not me.
Yeah, right.
It's not me.
Only be good through Jesus who is in us and as we are doing his works, and that's how we are good. So you're right. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he's protecting and supplying. Looks like there's an alarm. What is that?
I'm looking for the tornado. Is this a tornado?
No, what's going
it's not
on?
The tornado.
Here's another passage of scripture. Psalm 23 says, "He makes me lay down by green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." I kind of get a mental picture, and I love scenery. My wife and I, when we go out, if you know, we see something, and I think a lot of people do this, pull over. We need to get a picture of this, you know,
right?
Where it's like this lush green valley and a river and all. You know, we like to really take in those things. But these are the places spiritually where if we follow Christ and stay close to him, he's going to lead us by these beautiful, lush, green pastures where we're going to be spiritually fed. And then beside the still waters where we're not going to have to thirst, we're going to be able to drink as much as we want. This is the picture-perfect life in the physical world. And yet, we have such a hard time translating that as the perfect life in the spiritual world. But in reality, guys, you both know this, that, you know, we are just yearning for just to be fed in the spirit.
Yeah.
We can be spiritually starving and not even know it. But there's just that inner voice is just crying out for something. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to provide for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've been talking recently about the effects that COVID had on you.
Yeah.
And that it really shook something in you. And you started writing the chapters of the Bible.
Yeah.
And so how many chapters have you fully written out yet?
Five. Right now, I have five. I'm talking about books. I have five books.
Oh, books, yeah.
So I'm in Hebrews, and I just finished yesterday 13 chapters. And so I'm fixing to start my next book. So, you know, it's definitely a journey.
Well, and that's the thing that is crazy is like when you have that hunger for God, that craving, I just started reading again, starting through Genesis and going through, and I'm in the place where they're talking about the shepherds. Mm-hmm. So, but I hadn't seen it in this light before. You know, I was thinking, okay, so wait a minute. If the shepherds are the lowliest and David, it came from there and he's now the king, it's like, what? There's so much research that I just want to do and dive in and start just, you know, you read a word off the page of the Bible and it's like, oh wait, I can be on this for a week, you know, and you just start getting excited. And that's what you know, that's what's gonna, if you don't have that relationship, you're not going to have that craving. And it doesn't matter how much Christ wants to give it to you, you've got to accept it. You can't, you know, it's like, what do they say? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Mm-hmm. You know, he can lead you there. He can say, look at this beautiful place. But how many of us sit there and don't look at it? We, you know, when I was in California, we had this beautiful thing called an ocean. It was called a beach, and it had these beautiful waves. And I used to go surfing when I was younger, but, you know, now I never even went to the beach. You know, it's like people would come and say, you mean you haven't been to the beach? I'm like, no, I haven't been there in like 10 years. And,
yeah,
you know, but it's such a beautiful thing, and yet we take it for granted. And so my goal, and like you were saying, is this Sunday we were talking about generosity, and mm-hmm. and generosity doesn't just come with cash, you know. Generosity comes with time, with relationships, with emotions, with feelings. And I just want to be more open for those moments, to have those moments, to be aware, to have that generosity, to accept the generosity that Christ is giving us. Slow down, look and say, God, wow, you blessed me today. You blessed me because we've got a lot of rain in our community that we needed. We've got a wonderful station that is not being swept away. You know, thank you for, yeah. for protecting us from this tornado. You know, it's like there's so many things.
There's always something to thank God for. And I think you're right. We can take things for granted for sure. Our everything that we have, if we start looking at as a blessing from God, and that's what Jesus as a shepherd, I was thinking about how a shepherd leads a sheep on like a journey. When they're going across, you've probably seen lots of films, pictures where they're leading them from green hills to green hills. And back then we didn't have like here in Texas, where there's fences everywhere, but it used to be like free range, and it was like that for the cattle. So it still is that way over in Israel, where there's just miles and miles of land, and you'll see shepherds still to this day leading sheep. So I think what's important is knowing that we are on a journey with the shepherd. When you accepted Christ as your personal savior, it wasn't just a now moment, and this is all we get. It's a progressive journey where he's leading us places. The scenery changes, just like we have seasons of life. After this whole COVID incident, I started, 5 weeks, and I kind of came out of it, and I had a beard, and it was full of gray.
Yep.
I looked in the mirror, and my son said, "That's cool, Dad. You need to keep that." And I said, "Yeah, I think I am going to keep it." So I grew it out, my wife says, "Are you going to color it or anything?" I said, "No, why? Just leave it like, leave it salt and pepper looking." But this is a sign of the season of life I'm in.
Yeah.
Tim, you and I talk about a lot where we used to be the youngest guy in the room. Yep. I've been in ministry for a long time, and I was always looking up to the older people, and now I'm one of those older people.
Now they're calling you sir.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait
a
minute.
That's my father.
I try to hang out with the young adults, and they're like, "Hey, don't you got something else to do?" I get it. But here's the thing. I recognize that I am on a journey with Christ, and every hill, there's something new. So there's something to be thankful for at every stage of my life. And I know you guys are the same. We are on a journey. It's not going to end until he calls us home. And that's when the good shepherd, we talked about last week, where the gate will be open, and he is the gate, and he's going to make sure that we get exactly where we're supposed to be if we follow him. Mm-hmm. Now, we can go to the right or to the left, and there's things that look good along the way, and you know what I'm talking about is I'm drawing a picture of sinful lifestyles and things of the world, addictions and things that we could get in, but we know we shouldn't. It is a draw. It's like the lights and the action and all the stuff. But if we just follow Jesus, he's going to take us exactly where we need to be. We need to stick with him.
Well, I like what it says in Psalms 23, and you quoted it earlier. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Jesus knows exactly what we need, and he's going to provide for us what we need, not necessarily what we desire.
Right.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He knows how to give us rest for our tired soul. He says, "Come unto me, all you weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." He leads us behind still waters. Did you know that sheep have a hard time drinking out of water that's moving real quick? They're skittish about it. So the shepherd knows he's going to lead you to a place where you can be refreshed. You're going to get what you need.
That's good.
Then it says, he provides this too. He says, "He restores my soul." It takes it out of the sheep context, and he talks about a soul. He restores my soul. God provides rest for our soul. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, But in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind. God wants to give you peace to your heart. Jesus knows all these things.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's the guide. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, it says in Psalms 23:3. You know, he nurtures us. He's going to make sure we're provided for. I remember, you know, seeing shepherds lead sheep down the road. You know, they'd be, you'd be driving your car, and all of a sudden you got to stop and wait on the sheep, right? And the guy just has a stick, and he's walking along, and the sheep are just kind of going with him. You know what he's doing? He's taking them someplace where they can get grass,
where
they can get some food. You know, he's going to take them eventually off the side of the road because that doesn't provide for them. He's taking them to greener pastures. And Jesus wants to do that for us as well.
Yeah, and they'll follow because they know his voice. But here's something else that you know, if you have, if you're a pet owner and you have a dog, dogs are pretty smart. Dogs know their names, you know. I have a German Shepherd rescue dog named Piper, and when you say Piper, that dog's going to look up and say, "Wait, what do you need?" Because she's very attentive. Sheep are smart like that, and in the Mediterranean world in the time of Christ, they would give each sheep a pet name. And so just like what we have dogs, can you imagine a shepherd memorizing 500 names? But they knew them. Each one, they knew them. And so a name represents identity. It's a person. So when he calls each of us by name, what our scripture is saying that he knows each of us intimately.
Right.
He knows his sheep. He says, "I know my own, and my own know me." When he calls his sheep by name, they listen. And verse 3 says that the sheep hear his voice, that they know his voice. They don't know the voice of strangers, but they do recognize the voice of the shepherd as he's calling out their name. And here's how this is important. If you can get close to Christ, you will begin to recognize when he's calling you, and most importantly, the direction that he is directing you in. I think every person I ever talk to when it comes to prayer requests, I would say 90% is direction. I need direction. I need direction in this, how to make a decision in this, what do I do here? And I'm going to tell you that just if I can just pastor you just for a moment, he has every direction already laid out for you. If you just quiet yourself and begin to pray and listen,
that's the big point.
Still small voice is going to tell you what you should do, where you should go, how you should respond. And there are times I get myself in trouble that I respond too quickly. I'll get a text and I was like, oh, what is this person thinking? And I'll text back. And then before I hit send, I always read it. And I say, no, that's a little harsh. I erase, right. I erase. And that's the Holy Spirit saying, stop. Don't send that.
Don't send it. Once out, it's out.
Don't send it. But, you know, not being mean, but I just kind of blunt. It's like, blah, blah, you know, this isn't in just being very to the point in some things. And a lot of the times I realize, wait a minute, I'm not looking at this as a complete picture of how I should be. And if I could slow down just a little bit, Jesus will direct me in my ways.
Right. Well, I also love jumping ahead of God. I'll hear a small voice. And a perfect example would be, he would be like, I'll hear him say, example, go to the door. Well, me, I'll go to the door and I'll try to unlock it. I'll try to open it. I'll go through the door and, you know, I'll get to the other side and be like, okay, what's next? Let's do this. And he goes, I didn't tell you to knock on the door. I didn't tell you to open the door. I told you to stand in front of the door. And I was like, oh, you know, cause you got it. So,
right.
So he takes me, sometimes he's got to take me on those baby steps just so that I can hear his voice and be obedient.
Well, we just have a little time left. Just stick with us and we will finish up right after this commercial.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
Car Dealer Math, presented by Cutshaw Chevrolet. When shopping for a new or used car, sometimes it seems like the numbers just don't add up.
$15,000, that's just the base pricing. You have to add the dock fees, our espresso machine fees, detailing fee, dealer prep charges, added value services, tires, our expensive bumper and bumper warranty, and that covers both bumpers, not the car itself. And don't forget our administration fees to prepare all of these fees. That's why $15,000 really equals $24,000.
At Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland, keeping it simple is what we do best. We don't believe in dealer math. The price you see is the price you get. It's that simple. So for a great selection of new and used vehicles, visit us today at CutshawChevrolet.com or call 1-800-CUTSHAW. Cutshaw Chevrolet, keeping it simple every day.
Feel the joy. 104.3 Joy FM.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, we are so glad that you have stayed with us and are listening.
Weathered us through the storm.
Through the storm.
The power's flashing around here, and we're hitting alarms going off. It's been an amazing show today.
I want to give you the number and the address just for our contact. If you ever have any questions, comments, or something you'd like us to cover, you can always text us this number, 936-337-1413. Or you can just write us a letter at The Threshing Floor. That's P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. We would love to hear from you. As we've been talking about Jesus as the Good Shepherd and how just we as people, we really are like sheep, and how Jesus, as he's leading us places and he's leading us by the quiet waters and the green pastures, he is a lot like the shepherd. There is one other place I want to go before we close. He talked about the hired hands that will run when the enemies attack the sheep. But the good shepherd will stick in there and he will care for the sheep. He'll protect them with his very life. And that's what Jesus said. There are several Old Testament passages that talk about the leaders of Israel as bad or evil shepherds that cared nothing for the sheep. Talk about Ezekiel chapter 34, Jeremiah chapter 32, Zechariah 11. But here, Jesus paints himself as something different. That's how the new covenant comes in. I think God allowed all of these evil rulers to lord over them just to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was going to be different. And when Jesus came in, he was saying that he's going to be good to them. He's going to be a good shepherd to them, and he's not going to take advantage of them. And so how Jesus paints this picture of himself is very different. He's going to care for these sheep. He's going to care for us, even to the point of dying for us. And that just, no other leader that Israel ever had was willing to do this, except maybe David, who
you stand up against the bear and a lion. Guess what?
Right.
You're going to lay it on the line right
and
there.
And that's why how the Lord spoke of David as a man after God's own heart. And so David was what we call a type of Christ. He was like foreshadowing what Christ would be. But after David, I don't know about you guys, but reading about the kings, it can be depressing.
Oh yeah.
Each generation, every once in a while, there'll be one, Asa or another, just, you know, oh wait, this finally the turning point. They're going to be good. The next generation is just even worse.
Well, what's scary is it's in the same household. So you've got somebody that is righteous and on fire for God, according to the scripture, and then their son does evil in the sight of the Lord. And it's not even doesn't even skip the generation. They had the examples. They were going and doing the sacrifices. They were doing all of that stuff. And yet how quick can we turn and do evil? And I just, it is depressing sometimes because you go, why can't they just follow? Why can't we just follow God and follow the good shepherd? Because what happens when we don't follow him? We always end up getting in trouble.
Every time.
We always get lost. We always get off course. And then we start blaming God. It's like, well, God, why am I here? It's like, well, you were the one wandering off.
I've been here the whole time. In the same book, the book of John, the same gospel, he tells his disciples, he says, no one has greater love than this to lay down one's life for one's friends. And he's drawing on the image of the shepherd. And Jesus is telling us here that he will ultimately die for us to secure us this abundant life that he knows that we can have through him. So Jesus is foreshadowing the fact, even there, he tells his disciples over and over, he says, the shepherd's going to die for the sheep, that he would die, but he would rise again. And so we celebrate that. I just want to just encourage each and every one of you just to follow Christ with everything you have. That means with all your energy. Get excited about your faith in Christ. Get excited that he is leading you places, that he has great things for you. And it's okay to have fun in this world. I believe we are supposed to have fun. We are supposed to celebrate in him. But as long as we stay true to who we are in Christ,
right?
Just belonging to that shepherd. And for every one of you, I would encourage you to follow closely to him. And I'll go back to what we were talking about earlier in the beginning of this program, of all the violence going on in the world. That is a direct result of turning away from Christ and leaving him and going our own way. So there's the choice. You can follow Christ or follow the world. He is the good shepherd. We love you. We pray for you. And join us again next Tuesday here on The Threshing Floor.
You've been listening to The Threshing Floor with Pastor Jeb Dotson. The Threshing Floor is a ministry of Life Point Church. We would love to hear from you. You can mail your questions and comments to The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. That's The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. Until next time, may the love of God richly bless and strengthen you.